Theories and Germs and Others. This is Byron D. Zero, and you are listening to the Weeb Trash Can Podcast. Again, this is Byron D. Zero, saying hi. Name's so nice, I gotta say it twice.
Mechanical here, booting up, ready to give you the lowdown on what the showdown is.
Maggleby, what's up?
Megatron here with the smoothest voice, bringing heaven straight to your ears.
We have 606 here, defender of justice as always.
How are we doing, guys?
Good.
Okay. Just want to get rolling. You know, we kind of been split apart for a little bit because of various responsibilities.
Yep. In the snow.
Yes.
Oh, so much snow.
Yes, but the band is back together, and tonight we're going to be talking about voice actors. Because when it comes to any form of animation, voice actors are one of the most important parts of it. And I'm going to bring up one of my favorite ones right here, right now. A man who is famous in the industry goes by the name of Christopher Robin Sabat. He is a big-time ADR director for Funimation. He owns Okatron 5000, which is the company that was responsible for making Dragon Ball Z the anime behemoth that it is today. And he has voiced many of an iconic character beyond just Dragon Ball Z. First things first, the man is Vegeta. He took what was essentially a one-note character done by Brian Drummond during the time of the Ocean dub and made it his own. He took him from sounding like a cheesy generic character in the 90s, made him into a more of a regal, dignified, princely character.
Yeah, he did. Like, the original voice did sound a little, like, snivelly.
Yes.
Like, just imagine, like, that voice, like, proceeding all the way through the series.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It wouldn't have made Vegeta who he is today.
Yeah.
Because he has such an intense character arc.
Yes. Yeah.
And you really need a good, solid voice actor to sell a character's development.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, he's also Piccolo, which, I mean,
again, talk about character arcs.
Exactly. And honestly, no disrespect to him, Scott McNeil's kind of a hard act to follow when it comes to that performance.
Yeah.
I've listened to some of like the Ocean dub stuff in Canada by comparison. Still on point, but he made Piccolo his own as well. And being my two favorite characters in the Dragon Ball franchise, done by one man, I gotta say that's pretty freaking awesome.
And I was just gonna add and say that his voice, it has that potency where it can be, where it can have a dark vernacular, much like Piccolo and Vegeta's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm gonna end you, and he says it with so much emphasis, or it's so emphatic that you really believe it.
Like, oh shit, he's gonna end you.
Yeah.
He was also the voice of Alexander Anderson.
Yeah.
The Alchemist. Look at my beauteous art.
You mean Armstrong, man. Right? Yes.
Yeah. Alexander Louis Armstrong.
Very good.
Yes. Another one that he doesn't get enough credit for is Ayame Soma from Fruits Basket.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That was probably his most diverse performance to date, in my opinion. It showed me his range as a voice actor, because he was allowed to let go. He was allowed to, like, not strain on his vocal cords as much as with other characters.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard him, I'm just like, it took me a second. I'm like, that's Chris, isn't it? That is Chris, and I'm like, that's awesome, because it made me just think, like, he can do other characters in this realm. And part of me was kind of just thinking, like, if Funimation ever gets to write Urusei Yatsura, he could do the voice of Mindao. But I feel like that would be another topic for another day. And since we're talking about favorite anime characters that he's done, my favorite anime, One Piece, he's Roronoa Zoro. When Funimation got the rights to it, I'm just like, they're not going to cast anyone else as Zoro but him. Who the hell are we kidding? Because, like, Chris's MO is tough guy characters. And, you know, Zoro's kind of the Vegeta of One Piece. So,
yeah,
why not just do that?
Zoro is a badass.
Oh, yeah.
plays All Might as well, right?
Yes, he does. And he does, and he shows that same level of range where it's just like when he's not in like powered up form, is his natural speaking voice.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I love his natural speaking voice. By the way, it's just I hear him talk like in interviews. I'm just like melting. So I mean, he's married, so I know that's never going to happen. But a guy can dream. So yeah, Giuseppe, I think you got some competition in the smooth voice department. Just saying.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right, just saying, dude.
You know, I can't be the best if there wasn't other ones that I had to outshine. Yes. So.
Well, you know, if you're going to be surpassed by anybody, it might as well be Vegeta.
Yeah, it might as well be Vegeta.
Exactly.
My pick would be Crispin Freeman. Good morning. Well-rounded veteran.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, voice acting. He sticks out mostly to me as Alucard from Helsing.
Oh, yes.
Nice. You know, just really bringing in that deep bass and grittiness into the voice acting.
Yeah, and his voice is really rich.
It doesn't sound forced. Like, usually when, like, people do, like, the dark, gritty thing, like, it sounds like they're really pretending, like, going hard on it. But him, it's just like a natural act.
Yeah. There's a lot of interviews out there of subpar voice actors who will talk about playing a gritty character and how it destroys their voice.
Yeah.
And as someone who's, I'm not a voice actor, but I was in voice lessons for singing from like third grade onward.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are vocal techniques to replicate any sound without destroying your voice.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Opera singers.
Yes.
What is it called? Vibrato is when they drop it real, real low, so that way they can save their voice so they can hit the high notes again.
I was gonna say vibrato is the term of when the note seems to like shake.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's vibrato.
All right. Yeah, that's another one of those voice actors though that's done one of my favorite anime characters. He was the second voice actor for Zelgaldus in Slayers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering the guy that played before him, he saved that role.
Yeah.
But a voice actor who can bring that really deep, rich, gritty timbre is always going to find work.
Oh, absolutely.
But what I love about Crispin Freeman, and this is like all the voice actors that I pick do the same thing too, is that they don't necessarily have to alter their voice. They just, because their voice is able to fit the character so well. So the first time I ever like really listened for Crispin Freeman's voice was in a video game called Makai Kingdom. He played Overlord Zeta, and he was so awesome as Overlord Zeta, where he was able to take this character who, he's a book. His soul gets trapped in the tome, whatever. So he's a book, and he's able to capture all this emotion via his voice. And so you take that character as a book who's like an Overlord used to being powerful. Then you go to Togusa from Ghost in the Shell. And he's like the rookie cop. He's the one cop who doesn't have all the cybernetic implants. He's still more human than machine. He's able to capture that with just his voice. And another character that he plays is Helsing, where he's able to give that grit and that grime. Yes. And he's able to portray that darkness. But it's never forced. And that's one thing that's so amazing about at least Crispin Freeman as a voice actor. I have a nerd boner right now. That Chris Freeman's voice actor is that he's able to just use his own natural voice. I mean, he has a podcast, and every time I listen to him, it's like nerd boner for days.
Because gotta turn that bass way up. Let the seats vibrate.
Well, yeah, he's just like his voice is like heaven to your ears too.
Yeah, and that's just another one of those voices you hear and you know it's him.
Yeah.
When you open up Overwatch and you hear Winston. Like,
yeah.
Crispin
Freeman.
Such great range.
Yeah. Two of my favorite characters. Another one is Itachi, which is fun too. So that's pretty iconic for me. Love that voice.
Yes, absolutely. I had the honor of meeting him in anime at one of like the earlier anime bosses when they first came to the Heinz, and he is just like so down to earth.
Like 05, 06?
Yes.
Yeah. My first year at Anime Boston was 06. And it was its second year in the Heinz, and that was the year that Steve Bloom was a voice actor guest.
Massive nerd.
And I wasn't really plugged into voice actors yet. I was still, this was my first convention. I was still a baby weeb. And I remember going to opening ceremonies and listening to him go, "Oh my God, Tom! Oh my God, he's Cowboy Bebop! He's Spike Spiegel! He's," and just listening to his voice, and man, talking about naturally deep, low, just gorgeous bass gravelly voices with range.
Yes.
And that's my biggest thing with voice actors is you've got to have range. Mm-hmm. You've got to have range. You need to be able to do. In his case, he was able to get into the industry because of that super low voice, and he does it for many characters, but they all still sound unique even though they're in the same range.
Yeah.
But he also does a lot of characters that are like the high nasally kind of. He does the old man. He's done everything, and he sells it all. He has... I'm looking at IMDb right now. He is credited as an actor, and which in this case would be a voice actor, in 684 roles.
Christ.
He's been at this for a long time, and his no two characters that I've encountered sound the same.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube link that I want to post on this episode that's just a compilation of, it's like 2 hours of just small clips of all of his different characters, and none of them sound the same. The range on this man is incredible, and he is an actor as well. He is not, voice actors need to be able to manipulate their voices, to have all kinds of range, to differentiate between characters, but this man also, the other important part of that is the actor part, is you have to be able to sell this character. It is on you as a voice actor just as much, honestly, if not more, than it's on the animators to give a character life, to give him depth, to sell their pain, to sell their happiness, to make you believe and love or hate, as the case may be, the character. In order to get emotionally invested, you have to love the character. And in order to do that, you have to be able to act. Yeah. Same as you would get attached to a screen character, you can get attached, you have to be able to get attached to this animated character. And a huge, huge part of that is the vocals.
Yep.
And Steve Bloom has that. And he's another just stand-up great guy. Back in 2006 at Anime Boston, looking up at him and like, up on a pedestal. Yeah. He's still up on a pedestal for me because he's amazing. But I have a second job that works with a photography company, which means that I get to travel around to different conventions and meet all these celebrities. If you go to a convention and you buy a photo op with a celebrity, my company is one of the ones that does that. So I get to meet all kinds of cool people, and I'm not going to go into it now, but I can tell you who's cool, who's stuck up, who's a pain, who's great. Steve Bloom is so good. He's so good.
He's really good to his fans, too.
He's so good. He's incredibly talented. He's a great guy, and I really do just have all the respect in the world for his talent.
Just like a note on that, you know, as Spike Spiegel, he's really cool and like kind of stoic sometimes, but as Mugen from Samurai Champloo, he has like so much intensity. It's the same voice, but it goes back to what you were saying, is that vocal range. For those who don't know about Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop, Orochimaru from Naruto, there's so much
from me. I was gonna say it too.
He's
I'm over here like that guy. That guy's in Naruto.
Also Roger Smith and Big O. He's also the official voice of Wolverine for Marvel now. And he does a fantastic job. Like
he's Zabarellos in the Rebels.
Again,
we're kind of branching out of anime, but with American voice acting, things are very often very insular, especially within categories, within American cartoons, within anime cartoons, within like, you know, commercial voiceovers. People specialize in things, and Steve Bloom does a lot of anime, but he's just so goddamn talented that he can't stick to that one thing. And he does a ton of American cartoons as well. That's
Isn't he a musician as well?
Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That was not what I was researching, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I believe he is. I remember, when I first really got into Weebdom, just researching him, because I was just so enthralled by his voice. I just stumbled upon it once. But I was going to say, he's the X-Men, the Wolverine tie-in, though. He was actually Wolverine in the X-Men anime, which that was a joy to listen to because it was the first non-children's friendly depiction of Wolverine where he got to cut loose.
Yeah,
there was one scene in that episode between him and Cyclops,
yeah.
where he's like, "Boy, I sure hate for Jean to see you like this," and Cyclops is like, "Say it again, say that name again." He's like. He smiles like, Gene. I'm just like, oh, shit.
People are about to die.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm actually looking in 2012. He was awarded a Guinness World Record for being the most prolific video game voice actor, having 261 credited appearances. And that was back in 2012. He's only done more work since then.
Yeah. That is badass.
Yeah. He's absolutely incredible. And thus is my pick. I was debating between gushing about Steve Bloom or ranting about Vic Mignogna, but we're not going to touch that. And I chose to gush about Steve Bloom.
Sticking with the love.
Oh, yeah. All right, so I couldn't just pick one, so I have a list. So there's Crispin Freeman, and he's done a few works like Alucard, Holland Novak from Eureka 7, Itachi from Naruto, and Togusa from Ghost in the Shell. There's Quentin Flynn, who did Kodosaka from K Missing Kings. He was Iruka from Naruto, and he was also Shingo in Initial D. There's Steve Bloom, who we've already touched on.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Lee, she was Faye Valentine. She was Bulma.
Yeah.
She was Kay from Akira.
She's great.
Yeah, she's also Haruhi Suzumiya from Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Yep, which we've covered on the show before.
Yep. Bo Billingsley, Jet Black,
yes.
The Fourth Hokage, and one of my favorite characters ever, Bear Walken from Gungrave.
Yep.
Yes.
And finally, her voice, this actress's voice has kept me enthralled through the years. Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, she was Julia from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
She was Major Makoto Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell. She was Hilda from Outlaw Star.
Oh.
And every time I hear her voice, I melt. Like, if there was one celebrity crush for voice actor that I would have, it would be for this woman.
Same.
Because, man... There's just, again, all these voice actors that I've just listed, they use their same voice for every character that they play. Mm-hmm. However, their vocal range is what sets them apart. And so, just like Steve Bloom can be Spike Spiegel and Mugen using the same voice, there's a different level of intensity that's added to everyone, or every one of the characters that they portray. And so, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn playing Julia... Total heartthrob for me because Julia, not that I'm into blondes, but she made me into blondes. You know what I'm saying? Makoto Kusanagi with that steely cold voice.
Oh my god,
man! And then even though she was pretty much a robot, it was still whatever. I can't even find the words to describe it.
Does not compute.
Yeah, it does for real. Does not compute. For the first time ever, Megatron is stumped without his awesome wit. I'm gonna say it right now.
Struck dumb.
Yeah, struck, starstruck, for real. And her voice is just so amazing. And the characters that she's able to portray, whether it be Julia, who's Spike Spiegel's star-crossed lover,
mm-hmm.
or Hilda, who is...
the one who sends Gene Starwin on his adventure.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. The one who sends Gene Starwin on his adventure and his mentor. Or even Salome, who ends up being Overlord Zeta's love interest, but Starcross love interest. And Makoto Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell. She's just able to bring such depth to all these different women. And it's to the point where not only can she portray strength in character with just her voice, but she can also portray tenderness, some weakness. But overall, her body of work and playing all these tough female roles is what made me like say, all right, this is the actor that I'm gonna focus on, because man, oh man, like there's just so much rolled up into one package where is there's just too much. I can't do it justice. That's what I got.
Well, on that note, I'm going to talk about one of my girl crushes as well. I've got Laura Bailey as my pick of the week.
I literally have her pulled up on my phone in case you didn't talk about her. So I was like, she has to be mentioned.
But I'll exit out and let you do the honors.
Yes, thank you. So I am unfortunately one of those people that when... you know, watching shows, I'm really bad at names. So I watch a show and I'm like, oh, like I know that voice. That person plays this from this, and this person plays that from that. But Laura Bailey is just really special to me because I play Skyrim. It's not an anime thing, but we'll get to some.
There's a lot of crossover between video games and anime.
Yeah, absolutely, and. My favorite part of Skyrim is the Dawnguard DLC, where you get to meet up with Serana. And she's just the best character, hands down, I've ever played with, the best companion, the only person I will travel with. and just, it's nice to, like, have her with me. I don't know what it is. Laura Bailey's voice, just, there's this one part when, you know, you'll see a nice waterfall or something, and then you'll hear Laura Bailey behind you. This is gorgeous. I'm so glad you're here with me. And I'm like, oh my God.
Weak in the knees.
That was my introduction, or one of my introductions to Laura Bailey. And then I decided to watch a couple episodes dubbed of Full Metal Alchemist, and I heard Lust, and I was like, again, taken back, weak in the knees, like, I know that's Serana, like, oh my God, but to see her as this, you know, vixen, like, it was really
Lust
cool.
Personified.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And, so that's really fun, and I'm also big into D&D. So recently, I got into Critical Role, which Laura Bailey is a part of. I just started watching their second campaign where she plays Jester. So her voice in that is really, really different from, you know, Serana or Lust. It's like high pitched and kind of just got a weird accent, and it's really funny and really, really different, and. So that's really fun to, you know, get to see her do that and learn about her that way. And then you've also got her, she plays Kushina in Naruto. So, you know, another one that is really, really close to me. Every time I see that scene between her and Naruto, I'm like crying the entire time. And it's so good. I love Laura Bailey. So many of her roles have been just, you know, really close to me personally. So, and then you also have her playing like Trunks in Dragon Ball Z,
which is really fun. Kid Trunks and Kid Dende.
Yeah, yes. So.
And Bulma.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, like you said, that opening scene for Skyrim, well, she also does the opening scene for Kingdoms of Alamur Reckoning. And it was a failed EA game, but that opening scene where she's like, she's talking to you, to the character directly, like you're her lover, and it's like, you really do feel like you're her lover. It's like, where are you? Why haven't I seen you? You know what I'm saying? Why aren't you here beside me?
I was going to say, and again, it's the range thing, because we're all talking about Lust, about the, you know, these deep feminine evocative voices, but she also plays Toru Honda from Fruits Basket, who is incredibly, like, just doofy and kind-hearted and light. And on top of that, she also plays Shin Chan, which
is this
incredibly annoying, crass, small child. And he's, yeah, no, and the... She has that range that she can sell each of those characters so well.
She was also Marlene Angel in Blue Gender.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. One little interesting piece of trivia: she's actually married to Travis Willingham.
Yep.
I was gonna touch on that. Yeah.
And he was an amazing voice actor in his own right. And even in from what little I've seen of Critical Role, they have such good chemistry together, and they make each other better, I feel.
Yeah, see, and Critical Role isn't even the only thing that they've done together. Like, throughout the years, they've done, like, Naruto together. They were both in Full Metal Alchemist. Like,
yes.
They've been working together for years, and it's really, really fun to see their, you know, connection in everything they do. One Piece as well. Like, they're all over the place. They're really, really fun.
Their kids will have the voices of angels.
Actually, Lara is expecting.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's exciting. I did not know that. Yeah, it was really cool because I was watching an interview with Laura Bailey, and she was talking about you know, how she worked on Lust, and she was just so taken back by the fact that she could play a character like this. And I think that's one of my favorite things about voice acting itself, is that, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. I mean, I've played a prince in Into the Woods, but like, even more than that, you can, like, you know, actually play like a little boy, or like, you know, it's really fun. And just talking about all these voice actors that have all of this range, it's
great. I've had the great good pleasure of meeting and working with Jim Cummings several times.
That's awesome.
And he's not really known in the anime scene, but he is honestly one of the gold standards for American voice actors.
Yes.
I feel that he often personifies the attitude of voice actors a lot, too, is they're all, no matter how big you get, they tend to stay pretty humble because they're not face actors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gushing about this incredible talent and range and the way that they're able to bring life to these characters and blah, blah, blah. And if you talk to you know, Jim, he'll say, oh, thank you. He goes, you know, I get paid every day to make goofy voices. Like, I don't understand. He goes, I can't act, I can't sing, and I somehow found a job that lets me do both.
Nice.
Actual words that I've heard from his mouth, and then just stared at him like, what?
You're living the dream, man.
Yeah.
You're living
the dream. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, he's wonderful. He's my favorite. But back to anime-focused voice actors, I just brought up Jim as an example of how so many of these people are so incredibly talented and think so little of it. Like, I've only met one or two voice actors in my life, and I've met a lot. I've only met one or two that have a self-perceived star status, that are kind of full of themselves.
Yeah.
The vast majority of voice actors that I've ever met, and again, it's a lot, have all been incredibly humble and kind human beings.
Yes.
Which
brings me to a couple of my runner-ups. My first runner-up would be the late, great Bob Pabenbrook. He was like an OG in the industry. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of old man voices. One of his most famous ones was Katsuhiko Masaki from Tenchi Muyo. He died back in 2006 from throat complications, but he did a lot of great roles, like Rita Revolto from Power Rangers, not an anime, but still important. Greymon Digimon. He was Mega Octane in Transformers Robots in Disguise, and he's done a bunch of other ones. His son Bryce is carrying on his legacy, doing roles like Kirito and such. And the fact that he didn't try to change his stage name, but carrying on his father's memory, is a really awesome testament to how great he is in his own right and how great his father was.
Yeah.
My second runner-up is Richard Epcar. He's also an ADR director, but he's known more as a voice actor these days. He's been in the industry for a long time. He's done voices like Bato from Ghost in the Shell. He's non-anime roles. He's Raiden. He did the Joker in the first Injustice game. He's done like his probably one of his more infamous roles was Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo. Yes, which I had the pleasure asking him about that when he first did the read-through for that. He's like, when I first saw it, I was like, what the hell? And he's another one. He does like the same voice for most of his roles, but he has that range. And it's just so much fun to hear him. You know his voice, and when he does his thing, he does his thing. And those are my runner-ups. I don't want to gush anymore because we'll be here like hours more, I think.
Right?
Yeah. My runner-up has to be Johnny Young Bosch.
He's come a long way.
Yeah, he's quite the resume on that one. But I originally first saw him and was Trigun. Smash the Stamp.
Yes.
Oh, love that series. I remember he also did a voice briefly for an episode of Full Metal Alchemist. He was an aspiring alchemist who was obsessed with lust.
Oh yes.
Yeah, like the people were like in like that skin bark condition, they're yes. petrifying.
Mm-hmm. That was such a tragic episode too.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
That one hit home for sure.
Oh yes. But yeah, he's got some pretty good range too. He does like a lot of pretty boys. But I think the role that kind of showed his range for me was when he was Lelouch in Code Geass.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fact that he could pull that off with that level of deviousness after playing so many babyface protagonists showed his growth as a voice actor.
But you know what? He does play a lot of pretty boys because, I mean, even in some of the other stuff that I've seen him in, it's just like, it doesn't matter if it's a bad guy or a good guy. It's always like that blonde-haired dude who's charming all the girls and whatnot.
Yeah. Bishi.
Yeah.
Well, he was also the voice of Kaneda in the Akira.
Yeah.
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 And he had fun with that role. You could tell.
Yeah.
Runner-up for me is his roots are in anime, but he's best known today as the new official Joker with Mark Hamill retiring from that role, Troy Baker.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Troy Baker has... again, that incredible range. I was first introduced to him as Father Abel in Trinity Blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's a character who literally has two very different sides to him. Mm-hmm. And his voice changes basically when his personality kind of changes. Mm-hmm. And that's a role that, again, think like Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. It would be very easy to cast two different people, but he does both of those roles.
Yep.
Just himself, which is, again, all the really good Jekyll and Hydes are the same voice yes. actor who, you know, change it up. But yeah, no, like I said, his roots are in anime. He was the main character in Trinity Blood, like I was saying, his Father Abel. He was in Basilisk, FMA, One Piece, Bleach, Naruto. So he's done, you know, he's done a lot of great anime stuff. He was in Black Cat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
He was a major character in Black Cat, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, no, he's another great voice actor who has a lot of range and a real ability to shape his voice to any character that he's given and really, really give life to that character.
And he doesn't like have the same voice because he's Joel from Last of Us. But I would never thought that Joel from Last of Us
he's also got a ton of video game credits that I wasn't really gonna get into, but yeah. They're there.
My favorite Tales protagonist, Yuri Lowell.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show you his skill as a voice actor and to be able to disguise his voice as so many mm-hmm. different characters.
No, that's really the mark of a great voice actor is for you to not realize that you're listening to, you know, not being able to immediately recognize the voice.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for, you know, everyone has their own vocal signature that they can't completely cover up, but a good voice actor knows how to adapt their voice around that signature.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that you don't realize it's the same voice unless you are really specifically listening for. If you go into anything knowing a voice actor and listening for that voice actor, you're going to be able to pick them out.
Right.
But the really good ones, it doesn't matter, you know, because they completely reinvent themselves to become that character.
Yeah, they own it. They become that
exactly, character. Exactly. And it's and Troy Baker definitely has that talent. So like I said, you know, going from all these great anime roots that I was talking about, and he's really grown beyond anime in popularity because, like I said, he's the new official voice of the Joker, which is a hard role to pull off.
Yeah.
It is a very, very hard role to do right. Like, you've got Mark Hamill as the gold standard. And everyone else is just trying to play catch up, and Troy Baker nails it.
He really does.
He nails it, which really just speaks to his
talent.
What a powerhouse he is.
Yeah, absolutely. My runner-up is definitely Bo Billingsley. Once again, Bear Walken from Gungrave. You gotta say more. Jet Black from Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
I mean, and this dude, like, how do I say it? I don't think I've seen too many black voice actors in terms of like anime that's out there. I mean, you have Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar.
but I've seen Phil Lamar more in like video games and American.
He does mostly American cartoons. Yeah.
And so Bo Billingsley, what a guy to talk about. He's able to bring like this coolness, but also this serious undertone. Like, he plays very stoic characters, very zen characters. And he's just something out of this world. And it's crazy because he's also a face actor, too, not just a voice actor. But even then, he brings this extra je ne sais quoi to all his characters.
He really does.
That just emanate this strong presence, but it's not overbearing. And those are the types of characters that he's been able to play over the years, and I really appreciate it because you need to have those characters, and the supporting characters is really what makes up the main character, I'd say.
It's interesting that he plays so many mentor type characters because like he's an OG in the industry, so I'm sure there are a lot of younger voice actors that see him as a mentor.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I remember hearing his voice in the series Argento Soma as an older pilot.
Yes. He has a very sagacious quality to his to every performance that he does.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a runner-up, but I can give a special shout-out to Liam O'Brien for giving me the voices of Gaara and, what is it, Caleb in Critical Role. So.
Yes.
Those ones are really fun. So.
Also Taishi from Comic Party.
So everyone that we mentioned tonight, if we don't post a link to their IMDb or wiki or whatever, definitely look them up, because educating yourself on voice actors is incredibly fascinating. It's so cool to just scroll through that IMDb and be surprised over and over and over again. Oh my god, they did this role, they did this role, they were this person. Like, It's incredible the number of roles that can be encapsulated by one person.
Yeah.
And like if you listening go to cons a lot and you have this knowledge beforehand, it's great to strike up a conversation with them about those roles, try to get into their headspace, try to understand like what did you have to do to channel this character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Crispin Freeman will talk for days about, like, how much he loves Alucard as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so, talking with, like, Steve Bloom about his headspace, or any of them. They all have, like, great stories to tell. They're as rich as the characters they perform.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, go to their panels, go to their autographs, you know, if you find a voice actor that you love, let them know that you support them and let the industry know that you support them so that they can continue getting work. Because voice actors in particular are very,
They're an endangered breed. We must save them. I think what Maggie's trying to say is like they don't get half the credit they deserve.
Yes.
That's so true. Yeah.
They're undercredited, underappreciated, and very, I want to say sales oriented in regards to if they get work.
Yes. No matter how good they are.
Yeah.
And that's the tragic part about it, because Hollywood has this tendency to cast actors to be voice actors.
Yes, that's the other thing with voice actors nowadays, mm-hmm. is making a living just as a voice actor is getting harder and harder, because cartoons in general are becoming more respected. And so it's not a slight, it's not a step down for a major face actor to take on a role in the next, you know, big Disney movie or in the next big cartoon.
Like DuckTales.
A lot of voice actors are getting
pushed out.
Getting usurped by face actors, which is, it's a real shame. It's great to see credit being given where credit is due, that people are recognizing that cartoons in general are an art form worthy of respect and worthy of, oh, hey, we need a real actor to do this. But unfortunately, it is making it hard for people who are real actors but are not face actors.
Yeah. Well, what's the first anime that comes to mind where you know that, like, big face actors are in it?
Anime, it definitely happens a lot less. Ghibli. Anything Ghibli. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. That's,
anything Ghibli.
That's what I was thinking.
Yep.
Like, I was thinking of Princess Mononoke.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and again, that's the Disney monster.
Yes.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
See, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little bit tired of hearing Scarlett Johansson's voice.
No, that's fair. And while I can appreciate, you know, big face actors getting roles and bringing people, getting butts in seats, mm-hmm. is overall good for the industry, I suppose. But it's frustrating as someone who's loved cartoons for so long and love the voice actors that are so integral to them, mm-hmm. Getting kind of overlooked.
Yeah.
We love voice actors,
yes,
and we respect voice actors, and we want to see them do well.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
They are so integral to our enjoyment of animation as a whole, not just anime, but games, movies, even podcasts. Yes, because some of them run their own,
mm-hmm.
like Christopher Freeman, Rob Paulson.
Rob Paulson, I was just about to say, yes, Talking Tunes. Talking Tunes is great. Look that up. Again, if you want to get into the headspace of voice actors, Rob Paulson is on par with Jim Cummings in, like,
he's just
a legend, a staple, a gold standard of the industry. And he uses that acumen to get other voice actors in and talk. So if you loved this episode, if you're really interested in listening to more American voice actors, listen to Rob Paulson's Talking Tunes, go to IMDb and look up the voice actor for your favorite character, and then just scroll down the list.
I have a supplement for that, actually. If you have Verve, he has a televised version of the
of
Talking Tunes as well.
I forgot.
So if you want to see, like, get like a much more kinetic feel for those interviews, I highly recommend that as well. It's free with any Verb package. This isn't sponsored or anything, but it's free with the $10 Verb package. So if you have a friend with Verb, you can watch it over his place, make a night or her place or their place.
By Verve, do you mean VRV?
Yes, VRV.
Okay, gotcha. I've only ever referred to it as VRV.
Fair enough.
Verve, so, just wanted to clarify that.
I kind of thought there was an E at the end.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a word. The Verve is just the speaking, making VRV into a word where there is none.
It rolled off the tongue easier for me.
That's fine. It is easier to say. Anywho, voice actors, love them, respect them, support them.
They are life. They're the lifeblood of the animation industry.
They really are.
They're the lifeblood of everything outside of face acting.
Right?
Absolutely. And on that note, this is Byron D0 saying Ja Matana. If you're listening to this now, it's after Anime Boston. Ja.
And this is Mechanical powering down.
Oh shit! He actually, like, there's a puddle on the floor. There are parts all over the place.
That oil?
I'm going to poke it with a stick.
Well, while we look into repairs, this is Maggleby. Peace out. See y'all next week.
Megatron signing off here. I'll see you later.
606, Defender of Justice, over and out.